Welcome to the second installment of Jumping Jack's House. I'm your host, Sam Juergens. But before we get into the episode with the prophecy, I'd like to tell you about MentumDigital.com. This site is so amazing. You guys need to check it out. 100% of the sales goes to the artists and the producers on the label. Also, there's some amazing podcasts on there you can also check out, and also some merchandise you can buy. So if you buy a track for 99 cents, you will know that 100% of the proceeds will go to the artist. Now let's get into the show with the prophecy. Welcome to another episode of Jumpin' Jack's House. Today's guest is Sasha Flaherty, aka The Prophecy. Somebody that I used to follow around playing trance in after-hours clubs and around the rave scene back in the late 90s, early 2000s, before I dropped out in 2000, actually. So how's it going?
Amazing. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me down.
It's great. It's an honor, man. So funny thing is, I was thinking about this, and we never met in the rave days. I don't think we ever actually officially met.
Really?
Yeah.
I find that really weird.
Yeah, so do I. We may have crossed paths briefly, or you may have seen me sitting there watching you play, but didn't...
Oh, I remember seeing you around.
Yeah, okay, so I don't remember briefly, like, but I remember the first time we actually met was up in, I think, Waterloo for Josh's birthday.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was so blown away. I was like, you're the prophecy? Holy shit, right? Like, I was like, I fanboyed out a little bit.
Trance was at its heyday back then, right?
Yeah. So, anyways, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into music?
Okay, well, I guess it all started way back when I was a little kid. Got a pair of drums when I was a little kid.
Oh, nice.
And I started drumming away. And I was born in the early 70s, so there was no trance or techno or house back then. But there was some disco coming out. So I listened to some disco records. But I mostly followed my parents. And they listened to rock and roll.
Anything that stood out? Any bands?
Just the usual classics, you know. Yeah. I listened to a lot of them. My parents were very diverse in what they listened to. I guess Mike Oldfield. I don't know if you know the name.
No, I don't.
He was a very experimental dude back then. That kind of turned me on to some different sounds, and yeah, just progressed from there. I was a rocker. I got into hard rock, then I got into metal, and I was pretty much a metalhead right up until the late 80s, and then I discovered rap.
What was your first rap album?
Ooh.
Who was the first guy that stood out the most for you?
Run DMC, but I owe it all to my sister.
Okay.
Late 80s, I'm listening to my headbanging music in my room, I turn it off, and I hear beats. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
And she's listening to Chris Shepherd.
Oh, nice.
On air on the radio 102
I think it was Energy 108, wasn't it?
Back in the day, it was CFNY 102, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, in any case,
yeah.
He's from that moment on, I never listened to rock and roll again.
Oh wow.
It wasn't until a few years later I got into Tool.
Yeah.
Love Tool. Great band.
Who doesn't love Tool? If you don't love Tool, I don't know who you are.
But yeah, that's pretty much what happened. I listened to Chris Shepherd is a guy who I listened to, and then CIUT, I guess, those guys.
89.5.
Back in the day, late on Saturday nights, yeah. they would play Jungle and stuff like that, and I'd have my cassette, and I'd hit pause to mix songs and stuff, and then I didn't even know what DJing was at that time, okay. But I was doing it.
Yeah.
I was making cuts and stuff like that.
Nice.
And then got a pair of turntables from a friend one day and bought some records from Eugene that played a record, and the rest is history.
So let's go back a little bit. For those of you who don't know, he just dated his age by cassette tapes, just so you guys know. So growing up on metal and then getting into like electronic dance music, because I'm sure all your friends were metalheads.
Oh yeah.
What did they even think about that switch?
I'd start bringing music home, start playing with my turntables, mostly hardcore Rotterdam records. I bought a lot of Rotterdam records because I was Rotterdam, Island, right?
Yeah.
I needed something hard, and it was doing it for me. But it was really the infancy of this music, right? It was like beats and stuff like
Rotterdam
that.
Rotterdam Terrorcore.
Yeah, like crazy music, really fast, 150, 60 beats a minute.
Yep.
Loving it, right? Yep. Really bass heavy and really hard to mix because I didn't really know what I was doing.
Yeah.
But the people that I would listen, they were in digging it. They were liking the hard music as metal guys. Now, most of them didn't move on with me and follow me around. They stuck with their metal crowd. And I moved on to different things as I learned more about the music. I started finding the things I liked. The Eurodance started coming out, and I was really turning on to that because it was quick, too.
It came on fast.
Mr. Bane.
Yep.
And stuff like that, just craziness. It was really fast, and that was pretty much the beginnings of trance music. I started going that direction then.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you get into trance, or how did you discover trance?
Yeah, it was through the Euros, the Euro music. Going to clubs like Club FX in Mississauga, Club 108, Night Loose, the old, before RPM existed, RPM.
Yeah.
Which is the government.
Yeah.
Before the government. And
now Rebel.
And now, Rebel is a whole other beast, isn't it?
Yeah, it is another whole other beast.
So,
I remember, this is an interesting one. How did you get into, how did you start getting your name out there as a DJ? Because I know you grew up in up north, about 20 minutes away from where I grew up.
That's it.
So if you know anything about where we grew up, and I know Rob G will tell you, there's not a lot going on.
No.
How did you start getting your name out?
No, we're far from the rave scene where we were. But I guess in the early 90s, like I said, I got my tables and I started playing around, and I was getting knack for it. And it wasn't until 96 that I started going to these underground parties and raves and stuff regularly. Yeah. I would go to the one-offs in 92, 91. I'd go to a Pleasure Force rave. I'd go to like these crazy raves. Atlantis parties.
Atlantis,
You know, and then to get more and more trance. Jam and Spoon would come, or Chris Shepherd. I would see all these guys here on the radio. And, you know, and I'm at home in my basement doing my thing, you know, loving it. And 23 Hop came along, and that was pretty much the first time where I just got sucked into it. Okay. Seeing Chris Shepherd live there in an intimate setting. And then I met Jory.
Okay.
Jory Bice.
Okay.
DJ Elixir.
DJ Elixir.
Who said, yeah, man, I got a open tables night.
Okay. Where was that?
And it was some crazy little club at Dundas and Blue or something like that. I don't know what it was called. I can't remember. All I know is I could go there and play records.
Nice.
So that was pretty much my intro into, I wouldn't say it was a club, but it was a place to play music. And, and these guys were digging it, feeding my ego.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I basically started. But it wasn't until the basement.
We'll get to that. Now, did you have to hand out flyers or tapes and just get your name out there, or did it just generally just happen?
At the beginning, I didn't even know what to do. I was a brand new guy in Toronto, trying to just play music. I didn't know what I was doing. I just played music. I didn't make mixes because I didn't think it was good enough. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
Except for Jory, and he started introducing me to some people, and I'd go back to the next week for the open decks, and I'd meet some more people, and we just kind of hung out as a group of people, and I didn't really think it was going anywhere. I was just playing music.
Okay, so I know how I discovered you. A guy at school, and a lot of this will go back in the shows as we go on. A lot will have to do with my schooling days. This guy, his name was Troy McIsaac. And he had this tape cassette book.
Oh, okay.
And I used to borrow a tape from him every, like, once a day. I'd borrow a tape. And I came across your tape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this must have been in this was in there.
This would have been around late 90s, right? 97, maybe 96, 97. But, it was good. it was good, by the way. So, okay. So, did you ever have a defining moment?
Yes, it was that. It was that time, like I said, at the basement. Okay. Finally, I was with Jory, and we got turned on to the owner of the basement there, and he gave us a shot on Saturday morning, and it was after. I'll never forget it. Actually, you know what? It was my first time in a real club.
Okay.
And I was shaking, nervous, because the place was packed. Terry Kelly was on. I was getting ready to play after Terry Kelly. Like, Terry Kelly back in the day was like Terry Kelly. He's like, he's a huge guy, right?
Yeah.
And the place is packed. And I, you know, this is my moment, right? I get up there after Terry Kelly, put my record on. I remember what it was. It was, well, maybe I can't remember what it was. Two Moons and a Trout. I don't know. It was a crazy track. I put it on. Place went nuts. But I hadn't mixed anything yet. I just put the song on. Place went nuts. I actually, in my mix, I picked up the wrong needle.
Oh.
First time. That was my moment.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Put it back down. Everybody went off again. But you know what? After that, nerves calmed down, and I got through my morning mix, and it was awesome. And that was it.
That was
then, it. No looking back. From then on, it was this is what I'm going to do.
Nice.
And here we are 20 years later.
So you've been in the scene for 20 years. What have you seen? What is the differences between now and then? Because I know we've talked about this, and you know, you've said you've got a lot to say, or you have a lot of things to say about it, or you've seen a lot of things about it. And
I'm sure we'll get into this later, but since I've come back from overseas, I have noticed a big difference in the scene in this city. Anyways, It was peace, love back in the day.
Peace, love, unity, respect.
You play music, you have fun, you do your thing. Now, it's so business.
Yeah,
I think that's the biggest thing. It's business now.
Yeah,
it's business first, fun later.
Yeah,
yes, playing music is fun. Don't get me wrong, but it's so hard to find that vibe that we had back in the day. Maybe as we got older, I don't know, but the vibe is definitely not the same. It's something's lost. I can't put my finger on it, but something's lost. And maybe it's just the times changed. You know, technology's changed. The music has changed. It's evolved. It's become a beast. It's a lot bigger than it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and all these things, I think, just contribute to...
It's definitely money-driven.
Oh, yeah. It's a business.
It is a money-driven
scene. How many people are you bringing out? So, I don't know, man. You're the promoter. That's your department.
Yeah.
You know?
In the near future.
I'm going to provide some stellar music. That's what you booked me for, right?
In the near future, I'm going to do a podcast called The Last Promoter in My Eyes.
Hey,
I'm going to sit down with a guy and, you know, I know the last real promoter.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to make some money, but, you know, like, I don't know. Commercialism is inevitable, I guess. Maybe that's just what happened. It's now completely commercialized, and it's hard to get back to that underground. I don't think people realize what the underground is anymore.
The basement was definitely underground.
Oh, the basement was underground.
The basement was underground.
Sunshine Wayne's was underground. Spin Gat was underground. Space Nightclub was underground. These places were underground.
I've got a funny story about Spin Cat, but I'll tell you off air. Yeah.
A lot of funny stories in that place.
Oh, a lot. Let me tell you, I can tell you some crazy stories about Spin Cat. You know, you mentioned Sunshine Wayne's. Did you ever play Sunshine Wayne's?
I was, I might have been the only DJ on the planet that's actually lived in the DJ booth. I lived at Sunshine, in that club. I lived in that club for 3 years, 4 years. I can't even remember. I lived in the club, behind the decks. We were open Thursday night. We closed Monday morning. And when we closed, I'd set up a cot in the booth.
Really?
And I slept there for 4 years because I had no place to go.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. And to this day, I still don't know how we did cross paths. Well, we crossed paths, but how we still didn't talk, because I was in that place every weekend.
I'm kind of a quiet guy, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't really go out and mingle. I just wanted to play my music and you know, I'm a shy guy.
Yeah, now, if I'm correct, Chris Paulson lived there too, did he not?
I didn't. Well, he he might as well have.
Yeah.
Didn't live there, but he was there a lot. Yes, we many days we played back to back. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes, I miss those days.
I love Sunshine Wayne's. It was one. I think
he was. If it wasn't for Wayne, I would not be sitting here with you today.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. He threw me that lifeline. You know, like he's the one who let me be me. You know.
Yeah.
I couldn't be myself. My parents really didn't understand what I was doing. They didn't really support it.
Yeah.
And so if I'm not going to get the support at home, I'm not going to be at home.
Well, let's talk about that. And you just brought that up. You know, in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, raving started to become very mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So now it was on the news. It was being broadcasted.
Negatively.
Negatively, because of drug abuse and whatever. Now, how did your parents perceive that? Because you were just talking about...
They thought that's what I was doing. They thought I was a complete drug addict that had no direction in life and wasn't going anywhere. How can you possibly do this for a living? How is this going to make you money? How are you going to live? What are you going to do when you're 35 or whatever? You know, I started a bit late, I guess you could say. I was in my mid-20s. I wasn't no teenager when I started this.
Yeah.
I was when I started DJing, but I wasn't in the clubs until I was in my mid-20s. And they were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You smack me in the head. Okay, fine. I'm out of here.
But in those days, the DJs actually made money. Right? Yeah,
because we did a lot of gigs, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not like I didn't go and rate people for money.
No.
In hindsight, maybe I could have went a bit higher. But whatever.
Could.
No, like, it wasn't about the money. It's about the music. Always has been. Always will be. The music. And, That's it, right?
Yeah.
I didn't want to make a business of it.
Well, I don't blame you not wanting to make a business out of it. What inspires you today?
Mm.
And what inspired you then?
Then, today, I guess, what inspires... With social media and stuff, you see what's going on all over the world instantly. It's happening right now. This is happening right now.
Yeah.
And after so many years doing this, I just want to be part of it still. I can't get enough. I can't get enough of this. This is the way life should be.
Yeah.
Music and giving people that passion.
It's funny that you say about passion. I truly believe now the scene has lost a bit of the passion. I don't know if you see that. I think there's us old timers that are really passionate about the music. Don't get me wrong, there are a lot of young guys out there that are very passionate.
Oh, yes, of course.
Out there as well. So what inspired you back then to... Because you've gone overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone overseas. You had a residency at Drop Zone in Markham, did you not?
Oh, yes, for a long time.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us a little bit about Drop Zone and some of the things that were...
Okay,
how that came around, how you got that, because we just talked about Sunshine Wayne's.
Well, Drop Zone, okay. You know Purple Heaven. That was our... We had a rave company, a trans company, a few trans parties.
Yep.
My partner, Jason Marshall, RIP, miss him dearly.
Yeah.
He was my partner.
Yep.
We formed this company and we made trans parties that were very successful.
I remember.
Because of those parties, we had a lot of Chinese people coming down and got turned on to this club owner. Hey, you guys want to come and rock our club?
Mm-hmm.
So me and Jason did that twice a week and... that place is phenomenal.
I used to come to that club.
Yeah, we'd play there 12 hours a night.
Yeah, I like I said, I followed you around. I don't think we really talked because I was like, I always let the DJ do his thing.
No, man, my inspiration back then was just pure music. Like just, I loved getting the energy that comes from DJing and seeing the people react to it and loving it is just what kept me going and going and going and going. like, you know, when people are got their hands in the air and they're whistling,
the whistle posse,
you know, and they start, it's all off beat and it's screwing you up and you're trying to mix and people are banging their drums. It's like, anyways, yeah, it's just seeing the reactions of people and just the music was so good.
Yeah.
It was all good. Now, like today, everybody's a producer. You go online to buy music and there's just, it's unbelievable. Back in the day, you had to be selective. You bought records, they were $15 each, and you had to be really selective. You had to choose your music.
Yeah.
And you had to choose it well, because it costs a lot of money.
I still find it costs a lot of money to buy tracks today.
Yeah, it takes a lot more back then. It takes way more time to buy music. You had to go through 1,000 songs to pick up the 4 you like.
Yeah.
And
that's the difference today, because like thousands of tracks are being released daily.
I get it, man. The technology made things like that, you know?
Yeah. Anybody that stands out today that's producing that you really like?
Trance-wise?
Trance, house.
Today, my favorite trance guy is Ben Nicky. Okay. Have you ever never heard of him? It's harder trance, Goa trance, more harder trance. Yeah. Amazing, amazing guy. He's... Track selection is phenomenal. It gets me going every time I hear a mix from him. It's going. I went to a big trance party last year. Saw him live. Amazing. Marcus Schultz.
I like Marcus Schultz. He's doing something different.
He's great. The old guys, Armin van Buuren, Tiesto, Van Dijk. They've gone their directions. And back in the day, they still are on the top, but they were unbelievable back in the day. Unbelievable, like, it's amazing. I'm not a big fan of vocal trance, their style of vocal trance. It's not there, not for me anymore. There's too much singing. If I want singing, I'll go back to my rock.
Sorry. That's funny that you say that. I like vocals in my music.
Vocals, but like, I don't know, something about full-on singing in trance. I mean, I love the beats and I love the breakdowns, you know, the emotions that come from it. You know, I love classical music.
And
there's no singing in classical music.
Trance was very emotional. You could put on a tape and it would, like, you could put on a mix of somebody's, and if they knew what they were doing, they could tell a story and your emotions would be...
You just take you here, take you there.
Yeah, over the place.
But now it's changing, eh? You know, I'm not doing so much trance anymore.
You're not doing much trance anymore. Well, so let's get into that. What are you doing now?
Now it's all... I've been loving techno. Tech house, techno. Loving it. I don't know why I didn't get into this earlier. I love all the electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like jungle, I like electro, I like house, and I've always liked it all. I'd go see Roger Sanchez back in the day, and he'd get me grooving. But it wasn't like my heart was in it with the trance music, eh? But so the house and the techno now, it's all I'm loving it. It's new to me, I guess, when I'm mixing, and it's all new. I never went that direction.
I think you saved the best for last. That's what I always like to say.
Hey, I don't know. I guess we get older, you want to get groovier.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy to jump around at 140 beats a minute all night anymore.
Any parties that stood out to you when you were spinning back in the day?
Like parties I played at?
Parties you played at, maybe parties you were at.
Fun parties. Nightmare parties. Great, great hard trance parties. Loved them. Christian threw an awesome party. There was our parties. They were very, very good, I must say. If I was at them, I probably would have enjoyed myself. I'm working them. You don't really get to, you know. But, old raves, Pleasure Force raves, Atlantis. I can't think of anything. You're gonna cut that out anyways.
Probably not.
Oh man, it's been a long time. 20 years ago, a long time. I can't remember all these things. You know, I had them all. I was in my cars down here. I was like, oh, these raves. What are they? Yeah, big parties.
Yeah, because they're probably all mashed up together. Because you're doing every weekend.
I'm thinking of one party, but I mean another. I don't know. The classics. The WEMF parties, they can't be beat. They were just unbelievable. Ryan Krueger knows what he's doing.
Are they still going on?
I don't know. WEMFs, I think so.
I'm not I think they are.
Ryan Kruger took this music very commercial, but you know, it's all good. You know, you do what you do.
I think
everything moves on.
It really does.
But yeah.
So did we talk about where the scene is going?
Where do you think the scene's going? I don't know. Sometimes I think it's not going anywhere. Sometimes I think it's dying. Sometimes I think it's flourishing. Sometimes I don't know. I don't know if people are going out anymore. Because I go out sometimes. I go, man, there's some good DJs. Why isn't no one coming out? You know, like. But then you go to the other parties and they're full. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
I think people are very like loyal to certain promoters. Yeah, yeah. And certain parties and certain brands.
Okay.
And I think that's a lot to do with it too. Yeah. And you know, when you have multiple different things, like back in the 90s, there was thousands and thousands of people going to parties.
Yeah, but I'd go to 3 or 4 parties in a night.
Back then, yeah, and it would be full. Now it's a little bit smaller. You have
the clubs have been decimated by the government and stuff like that too, so.
Yeah.
They've really put a dent in the party scene, that's for sure.
Well, Toronto's club district is
gone. It's gone.
It's, you know, you can't go down to Adelaide anymore and find a club like you used to.
So, hence my move to China.
So, okay, tell us about China.
China. Chased a girl out to China.
Wow, you chased a girl out to China. Did you marry her?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we didn't last very long. But it got me to China.
Okay.
And while I was there, I was in the right place, right time. Got hooked up with a couple promoter guys who introduced me to a club owner who happened to own the biggest club in Shanghai.
Nice.
And he asked me to DJ, and I became the resident there.
What were you playing there?
I was playing... Well, he told me not to play trance, so I just took my trance and played it a little bit slower. And called it house.
Really?
Yeah, and he didn't care, whatever.
How did that go over?
Oh, they loved it, you know.
Did they?
It's kind of like teaching, they loved it. Yeah. Teaching them about the music, right?
You got any crazy stories?
Crazy stories.
About China?
Crazy stories. You know, it's a lovely, lovely place. You know, lots and lots and lots of clubs. There's a new club every week opening. There's a new club every week closing. So there's lots of opportunity for guys like me to go around and play these amazing systems. Because when they build a club there, they go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and so you play on these great systems and... Bon Bon, the club I played at, was the home of God's Kitchen.
Okay.
God's Kitchen is a global brand
of
nightclubs, and that's where I played for 3 years, I guess.
Okay, so what was one of the craziest nights that you had at that club?
I had the opportunity to throw my own event in this club.
Okay.
And I threw a techno event.
Okay.
Don't ask me why, because he wouldn't let me play trance. So I played techno. I found some techno guys, and... I threw one hell of a party. Maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people came out. It was crazy. Fireworks shooting from the roof into the dance floor. Like, come on.
Wow.
I'm surprised everybody didn't leave with burnt hair. Like, it's crazy. These guys are crazy over there.
So was that...
Shots off the bar. Like, you pay one... Yeah, I think... I don't know what it was. An equivalent $15 Canadian got you to drink all night in this club. It's crazy.
What year was that?
What 10 years ago, so that would have been about 07?
07.
6, 7, 8, yeah, somewhere around there.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I moved to Thailand, went to the beaches there, started playing at the famous full moon parties in Koh Phangan, Thailand, South Thailand, playing some...
What got you there, like from China to Thailand?
Well, I used to vacation.
Okay.
In Thailand a lot at this place, and we'd go for the full moon parties.
Yeah.
And one time we just stayed. My current wife, we just stayed, and because we were there, I hooked up and got to play some psytrance in these in the jungle on the beach. It was great.
So you met your wife in China?
Before I went to China.
Oh, before?
Yes.
Ah.
We separated and we've come back.
Oh, very nice.
It is a beautiful story.
It is a beautiful for another day.
Yes.
Another day. So now, when we were here in Thailand, did that lead up in any opportunities anywhere else?
Yeah, you know, just playing in these clubs, you'd get people hearing you. I played in North China because of the residencies I had. Allowed me to play in many other clubs. People would book me, they'd see me, they'd get a hold of the club owner, and I'd be off to a different city. And Guangzhou, Suzhou, Hong Kong, Beijing.
Wow.
Yeah, just different clubs in different cities. You know, just doing my thing that I was doing here, just doing it there.
So was it easier there for you because...
No, I think I don't think it was easier. I think it was because there's a lot of foreigners, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of foreigners. Like I said, I was in the right place, right time. I got into this big club. I think because I was in this big club, it just opened doors. The club owners, this guy was a rich guy, man. You know other club owners, and I would just start getting bookings, you know, crazy places. The Gobi Desert, there's a mining town.
Wow.
They heard a guy was in the club, heard me play. He's a manager of a club out there in the middle of nowhere. They only speak English. I don't even know what I was doing over there, but I went there and I played 3 nights. You know?
How was, like, was there any like red tape from going from country to country? Did you have any problems with like border security, anything like that? Never. I guess it might be a little bit different now.
Never. I never had a problem. Never at all. Not like going to the States, you gotta do a lot of work to go work in the States.
Yeah.
But over there, no, it's just basically it's like a free for all. Right? I don't think they know what's going on. So like, what, DJ, okay, whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's interesting. That interests me, and that's very interesting because, you know, you would think you'd have to get a work visa. You're lugging your records around. Obviously,
my records are still out there.
Yeah, they are still out there, actually. So
like I said, yeah. I went to Thailand.
Yeah,
with my now wife.
Yep.
On a vacation, and we were on our way back to Shanghai. My apartment's in Shanghai. Everything's in Shanghai. We live in Shanghai.
Yeah.
On our way back, I got to the airport and I just said screw it. I asked her to marry me right there at the airport, and she said yeah. So I ripped up the tickets to Shanghai and we stayed in Thailand.
Wow.
And I called my friends back in Shanghai and said, hey, pack up my apartment. Vincent, you can take the records. Take good care of my babies. They're yours.
Which is funny because we were talking about this about a month ago. And then what just happened?
Oh, yeah. Just yesterday. I guess we were talking on, doing some Facebook chat.
No, we were talking inside here in control room.
Yeah, yeah, about that. But yesterday I was online and I was talking to some friends and I was sending pictures of some old records I was finding, Rock Bass, DJ Easy Rock.
Yeah,
I took a picture and then I guess my buddy in China, he saw it and he was like, hey, I still got your trance records. You want them? Hey, yeah, man, I miss my baby. Send them down. I thought he had gotten rid of them.
Wow,
he kept them. He's lugged them to 4 different countries and three different houses.
Yeah, he was saying that, or four different houses, something like that.
He's sending them back to me, so I get my trance babies back. I replaced all those records with digitally, right?
But yeah.
Now I get them back on vinyl, and then.
Does it make you want to go out and play them somewhere?
Oh, yeah. You really want me to play them, don't you? Maybe I can throw them down in the control room here.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'll bring them by when I get them and we'll play some vinyl set, classic vinyl set. Yeah, sure, I can do that.
Did you ever play with Dr. Trance?
I did, many times. He played for us at our Purple Heaven parties.
Yeah.
Great guy. With the scene in this city would be nothing what it is without that guy. That guy built the scene. Him, Ryan Kruger, a bunch of them. But Dr. Trance was so instrumental in building the rave scene in the city. Like I have no words to describe how immense this guy was in life.
So how did you meet him?
I met him. How did I meet Dr. Trance? I think I just met him one time. It might have been on the radio. You remember St. Pete?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's another trance DJ. I think he introduced me to Dr. Trance. When I met him. You know, I'd seen him in the raves, seen him DJ, Dr. Trance. Oh my goodness, back in the day. I never really met the guy until St. Pete. Yeah, I think he introduced me at the radio station, One Groove.
I had an opportunity to meet him a couple months before he actually passed at one of the Boxing Day parties that he played. And I used to go follow him. And, you know, I actually had an opportunity after 20 years, finally got an opportunity to meet him.
He's a great guy.
Very, very nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a story that stands out?
For Dr. Trance?
Yeah.
I used to play on his radio show sometimes. He'd have me down and I just enjoyed playing music for him, because he was one of the guys I looked up to when it came to trance music. He built a big thing here in Toronto.
So, let's talk a little bit about that. Maybe not. I'm editing this part out.
No.
Okay. So let's kind of talk about that then. Was he like an inspiration? I guess you just said he was.
I guess he could, because like I said, I would go to Atlantis parties, yeah. and I do believe he organized those events. I think it was him. I can't really remember who else, but I knew he was part of it. Maybe Ryan Kruger, these old guys.
I wonder where a lot of these guys are.
Well, they're still around. Yeah. I think so.
They're still kicking. Yeah, yeah. Made their money.
But Dr. Trance is, he's a... I think he's everybody. In Toronto, if you're in this scene, you know Dr. Trance. And he's just a lovable guy.
Yeah.
Kind of like you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that, but I have some people that probably beg to differ on that. But that's okay. So, okay, let's go back overseas.
Sure. I love it over there.
Yeah.
And I'd love to go back. I miss it. It was such an experience.
But what really...
Living in a place like that.
What really interests me is this white guy coming over to an Asian country, because it's very different over there in the lifestyle and traditions. So how did that kind of fit into things, like when you're over there? Like, was it hard to get into the traditions?
Well, I was lucky. Shanghai is a very international city. Okay. So they're very westernized already. But that said, there's a learning curve. You know, the language barrier, big time. Mm-hmm. Getting around is a chore. It's hard. You gotta really work at getting around and simply in the taxi. You know, subway system is huge. How do you do this? How do you pay? Yeah. What do you do? What do you do if something's wrong? You know, like can I cross the road here? Am I gonna get in trouble? What can I do on the street? What's legal? What's not legal? I don't know. So you have to learn all these things, right?
Yeah, because China is pretty strict. Wasn't a communist country back then?
It still is. But I felt more free there than I do here.
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, I felt more free. Maybe it was bliss. I don't know. Ignorance.
Yeah. I guess you could kind of get away with a little bit more.
Maybe as a foreigner, you could. Yeah, they let you get away with a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is now. It's been 10 years. But back then, you could get away with some stuff.
So is there any... do you have a dream gig that you want to play?
Tomorrowland.
Nice. I
love to play Tomorrowland.
I think that's a lot of people's right now.
Those stages are amazing. The sound must be phenomenal, but it would be amazing to look out to 200,000 people or whatever it is.
That stuff gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, Tomorrowland would be a big one. Creamfields, the big festival, you know, they're just fun. Or even places like Fabric.
Okay.
I don't know if... I think it still exists, Fabric. Yeah, Fabric would be another nice one to play in. London. Obviously, to play at Tresor or something, that would be just off the hook, but
even Ministry of Sound, because they were huge into trance.
Yeah, no, these places are just some big clubs in the world, you know, and they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Berlin is a great place to go and play some techno.
Yeah, that would be
maybe one day I'll get out there. And
I'd love to go to Germany so bad. You know, I hear that. That would be a dream come true for myself. Me and everybody. I think you, Germany, would be like the place. I think just for the beer.
I don't know. Maybe we can. Maybe the scene here will change a little bit, and we'll get some more opportunities here.
From what I understand, though, Toronto is known now as a tech house city.
Yeah.
It's really gone that way. Now, what were like when you were playing? What were like the big genres in the city that were like the dominant? Because obviously you're going to all these parties.
House music. It's always been house.
Yeah.
Footwork.
Yep.
Industry. These are house clubs, man. Yeah. Great clubs. Yeah. Great music. Guys like DeCozy. Oh my God. It's very good.
Yeah.
Jello. Very good. These guys are great DJs. Mark Oliver.
Yeah,
I can't say enough about that guy. He's probably, I don't know why that guy's not headlining huge parties all over the world. I don't know, maybe he doesn't want to. I don't know. Guy's an amazing DJ, my favorite DJ, Mark Oliver.
Yeah, I remember watching Mark Oliver in the Orange Room.
Oh, anymore.
In the government.
Well, he basically started the scene in Cameron House. Yeah. Way back in the late 80s, I guess. Oh, in the 90s, early 90s. Man, he used to throw a party in the Cameron House.
OK, Okay, I want to know the craziest thing. I ask everybody this question. What is the craziest thing that somebody has come up and said to you while you're spinning?
The craziest thing?
I'm sure there's a few, right? It's
usually on the long lines of a request. Okay. For something that has no business being in any underground nightclub.
Well, tell us about it.
Who knows? It could have been, you know, if you played hip-hop, people would dance more.
I think we've all heard that one.
And I look out in the dance floor and there's three people in the club. Okay, lady. I don't have hip-hop, so you're going to have to deal with my trance music. But anyways, yeah, it's just things like that. Like, they're just people that just don't know. Yeah. They just don't know. They just come in thinking they're going to get a variety of music at Top 40 Club or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, they're in an underground club. We're playing trance, techno.
Do you have a favorite club in Toronto? Right now? Yeah, go right now.
Right now, I think one of the best venues to listen to music or see is Noir, the upstairs at Rebel.
Okay.
I wouldn't say Rebel. Rebel's a nice club.
Yeah.
I think Noir is a fantastic venue. That would be my choice. I saw Eric Morello in Noir, and it was mind-blowing. That guy is unbelievable.
I've yet gone to Rebel or Noir.
Yeah.
I know. Maybe one day I will.
Yeah, it's a great place to see some very good DJs.
Yeah. So you named off Sunshine Wayne's. You've named off The Basement, Spin Cat. I don't even think that one was there for that long, was it?
That's where The Basement moved to. And then,
is that where it was originally?
Yeah.
I did not.
Same one where he moved it. And then there was Space, Rob DeBoom's club.
Rob DeBoom had a club?
That was Space Nightclub. Why does no one know this? It's unbelievable.
You know what's funny? I got Rob DeBoom coming on in a few weeks. There you actually, go. Yeah. So you
gotta know this stuff.
Yeah. That's actually, I did not know that, and I know I talked
for him there, and some crazy things happened in that club too. Very crazy.
Feel free to share the stories.
I don't know if I can. Like, it's kind of crazy things. Too crazy to share. I think.
What?
You know, like crazy things. Like, just things you see you don't really want to see. You know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really want to get into that. Yeah.
Did you ever play System Soundbar?
I did. I had a residency at Limelight.
Limelight?
We did Sunday night trance parties. And okay. Limelight and System, same orders. Yeah. And because of there, I had a chance to go there.
Nice.
Limelight Rooftop. So many places, unbelievable.
Anything you feel like you want to share?
I don't know. Thinking back in time, and I don't know. It's just been an amazing ride. This whole 20 years is just, it's incredible.
Is there anything that stands out? Like, is there that one moment that stands out in the 20 years?
Well, my first record after Terry Kelly, my first in the club, that will always be with me.
That'll
picking up
with
the
you.
Needle and that will always be with me. I'll never forget that. You know
what's funny? I think I was at that party that night because I used to go to the Basement and it was fun. The Basement was fun, but it was sketchy at the same time.
My experiences overseas playing in a jungle.
How did that come about? How did you get that party? Like,
well, because I lived on the island, so I got to know the promoters that threw these. And that, it's all side trance over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to know these promoters, and you know, I got lucky enough to be asked to play at a Half Moon party.
Okay.
And it's in the jungle.
Yeah.
And it's. You've never seen a setting like this. It's like a bowl in the forest around, like an old Roman Colosseum type thing. You're up here, you're looking down in the bowl. There's people everywhere. It's quite a show.
How
we
many
got shut down
there?
That night, though.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the police shut it down that night.
Wow.
At least I got to play my set.
That's awesome. So I remember talking to you a couple weeks ago, and you're talking about your dream about moving to an island. And let's talk a little bit about like what
you'd
love to do now.
I like traveling and spreading my love for music, right? So I'm looking into the Caribbean and going down there and maybe maybe starting some party down there. Yeah, taking what I know from where I've learned all over the place and just taking it there. They're enjoying the music now. They're learning more and more and more about it, I guess, with social media. They hear a lot more of it, and they like it.
Yeah.
And I think it's time to go there and give it to them.
Give it to them.
Yeah.
So you were earlier talking about your was it a blue party? No, sorry. You were talking about a party that you used to throw with your late partner.
No, a Purple Heaven
party. Purple Heaven parties, that's it. Sorry. And is there anything that you, any tips that you could give promoters today on how to throw a party compared to what they were throwing back then? Because I know, I remember a lot of theme parties back in the day, and there's a lot more to it.
I think we always had a theme for our party.
Okay.
We always tried to come up with something. Our first party was called Heaven Smells Like Strawberries.
Yep.
Purple Heaven. Heaven Smells Like Strawberries. Yep. We had styrofoam strawberries hanging from the roof. We had angels. We had girls dressed as angels at all of our parties. And in that party, they were handing out plates of strawberries. And so we get to a theme, right?
Yeah.
Our seventh party was Seventh Heaven. We had, it was dreamy.
Okay.
Crazy lasers, crazy lights. Carlos from ACS hooked us up. He still does big systems, by the way.
Yeah. Shout out to Carlos.
Hey, Carlos is the man. Yeah, find a theme. Stick to a theme. I think it's a great way to go. Because you can add, you know, people get a white party. Government's doing, or rebels doing white party. You know, it's a theme.
Yeah.
I think you gotta have a theme. You just can't have a room. Yeah. You know, throw some DJs in a room. You know, but get a theme going. Get something.
Yeah.
However small it may be. Yeah. But have some sort of something to build that from, you know, a theme.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to end it here. I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Is there anywhere anybody can reach out to you?
They can. That's a good question. Oh, you got me. My Facebook.
Okay.
Sasha Vetterling. Facebook or Instagram or something like that.
You have an email they can email you at?
Sasha.Federley@gmail.com.
All right, guys. Well, I want to thank you for
Mixcloud.
Being on. Tell us about your Mixcloud.
Mixcloud. I don't even know how to get on my Mixcloud. How do you even find somebody on Mixcloud?
You search them?
Sasha Federley. I got lots of trance mixes and house mixes, techno mixes, got everything on there.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Thank you for being on the show.
Cheers.
Thank you to The Prophecy for sitting down and talking to us about his musical experiences and how he got started in music and his travels. But before we go, I'd like to ask you to go to our YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button. Also, there is a video of The Prophecy doing an exclusive mix for Jumping Jack's House on our YouTube channel, Jumping Jack's House, which is Jumpin', JumpinJAXX House. So go there, hit that subscribe button, and see our guests do exclusive videos of them DJing and playing the music that they're into. Also, if you'd like to reach me, you can get a hold of me through my email, which is sam@metum, metum digital.com. Also, don't forget to go to our Facebook page and hit that like and follow button. In the next few weeks, I will be giving away some prizes for all of you. Once again, thank you for tuning into the show. Peace, love, and happiness.